We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The day spring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God. Be revived.
Amen. All right. We've been looking at the way of communion. That has been the burden of the Lord for us. And Daddy has been saying it from the beginning of the year. And 2 weeks ago, we started the series, which was which has been very, very impactful. Thank you to Pastor Friday for opening up the series. Thank you for that supply. You know, he brought forth the definition of communion very clearly and very succinctly. He said communion is defined as a strong, friendly relationship marked by a strong communication link and mutual understanding. You know, Pastor CJ also helped us further to make us see the things that, you know, are part of our communion life. You know, talked about the word, prayers, meditation, you know, fellowship with brethren, singing or worship, you know, hearing God's words. Those are things that, you know, make a rich communion. Hallelujah. So I'll just be taking a few things from what they've also said, and then I'm trusting the Lord to add a little as the Lord will help us. Amen. All right, so from the definition of Pastor Friday, things that we can look at and underline from that definition, strong friendly relationship is something to look at. Then strong communication link, you know, and then mutual understanding. Those are key things from that definition that are very important that we look at. So it's impossible to have communion, you know, whether with, of course, in this series we are looking at communion with the Lord, you know, and Pastor CJ also helped us see the different levels of communion. You know, I was so blessed by that ministration. There's a communion in the Holy Ghost, or communion with the Holy Ghost. There's a communion of the Son, or communion with the Son, and then there's the communion of the Father. Can we say amen? So it doesn't begin first with communion of, it begins with communion with, before you come into communion. So at new birth, when our spirit became regenerated, you know, and then the Holy Spirit, you know, became a resident inside of us, that experience, you know, I'm not just talking about the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's new birth experience. You know, it's towards an end. You know, the Holy Spirit is there because Jesus was saying that. He said, I will send forth the Comforter, or the Spirit of Truth, you know, who will take the things of mine and will bring them to you. So one of the major reasons why the Holy Spirit is indwelling inside of us is to bring the things of the Father and of the Son to us. Hallelujah. Amen. So looking at that definition, you will not be able to have communion if there is no communication. Once there is a communication break or communication gap, then we will not be able to have, you know, communion. So there must be what? There must be communication. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit is the one that aids that communication. It becomes much more effective and effectual when we come baptized in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Can we say amen? Hallelujah. It becomes much more effective and effectual when we become baptized in the Holy Ghost. Because without that communication, we will not be able to come into mutual understanding. For you to say you have communion with somebody, there must be mutual understanding. And mutual understanding is not something you come into in a day. It takes a process of time. And one of the things that we foster that mutual understanding is communication. There must be communication. Hallelujah. You know, many of us have best friends. We have, you know, people we call close pals. And one thing that characterizes that relationship is communication. True of us. you keep communicating. You always look for a time that you want to communicate. You want to talk to that person. I have gist for you, Remy. I have gist for you. You know, when can we talk? You know, there's just that longing. Anything that is happening, the first person you are thinking of that you want to share that thing with is that your friend. Hallelujah. The same thing or the same way, there are things that the Holy Spirit wants to communicate with us. Hallelujah. He wants to share burdens with us. He wants to share the things of the Father, things of the Son with us. Hallelujah. Also, he's also looking forward to us sharing with him. Hallelujah. Because there must be sharing in communication. Hallelujah. So if you say communication, communication is a two-way thing. And many a times we fall into this trap, where we come in the place of prayer or on the place of study or whatsoever. And then, you know, we just bombard the Lord with everything in our hearts. We just talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. And there is no feedback. There is no, you know, waiting to also hear from the other party. Hallelujah. You know, if you are not receiving from the other party, then we are not doing communication. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to extray the definition that Pastor gave, and soon we'll begin to look at scripture. Hallelujah. Amen. And another thing that we can look at in that communication, you know, sentence or that communication word, as it were, is the fact that the properties of communication is what frames that friendship. What did I say? The properties of that communication or the information of that communication is what frames that relationship. So before you come into, you know, communion, you must build relationship. Hallelujah. And what defines that relationship is the material of union or the material of communication. So you can have friends that in school and the only things you discuss are school things. You can have friends, you know, in church and the only thing you discuss are just, you know, church things. And you say, oh, this person is my friend. When you get to another place, oh, this person is my friend. But what defines that friendship is the information, yes, the information that both of you share. Hallelujah. Or put it, the light that both of you share. So it's difficult to have communion relationship with somebody that you don't share the same light. So you see someone who is in, you know, medicine. You know, it's difficult to have an intellectual communication or communion with that person if the person is, you know, with somebody who is a lawyer. They can have relationship on another terms, not on that intellectual, you know, property as it were. As he's talking medicine, this other person is talking law. So it becomes difficult. Hallelujah. So there must be a light that both parties understand. Can we say amen? So, you know, in that definition, I brought out, you know, this definition of communion. So I said communion is the sharing or participation in the life of God. Can we say amen? You may want to write that down. I said communion is the sharing. There must be sharing. There must be participation in the life of God, because what God wants us to come and commune, what is the medium or what is the properties, the, you know, the feast of communion is his life. Hallelujah. Can we say amen? All right, so I also said that communion is coming into vital personal union with Jesus. I also put that communion is coming into vital personal union with Jesus. It means God wants us to come into oneness with God. God wants us to come into oneness with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that is not possible, or that is possible on the premise of coming to oneness with his will. These are the three things that God desires that will come into oneness with his will. God has his will. Can we say amen? Amen. Now, when you say you are in oneness, or many a times when you see daddy talk about mommy, or mommy talk about daddy. Like yesterday, daddy was saying that many a times There are things that you see maybe mommy frowns about or mommy's trying to address. There are things that daddy also frowns about. I don't know if you understand. There is a oneness in will. Are we together? They've journeyed until they've come to a place where their will have become one. Even though they may have different opinions, but when it comes to what to do, they've become one in will. Hallelujah. So God wants us to come into oneness with his will. Hallelujah. Let's look at Luke 11 verse 2. Let's look at Luke 11 verse 2. Luke 11. And he said unto them, when you pray, say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. What is next? Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. So you can't say thy kingdom has come if you don't know the will of God. Hallelujah. The doing of the will of God is the coming of his kingdom to you. Hallelujah. So God wants us to come into oneness with his will. So when you say, oh, that you are coming into communion, one of the things that communion is supposed to do is to bring you into oneness with the will of God. Hallelujah. That means you will know the will of God and you'll come into oneness with that will. Hallelujah. Amen. Another example you see is the person of our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 22 verse 42. When Jesus was about to go to, the cross at Gethsemane, he was praying and he got to this place saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine what? Be done. So you can see Jesus coming into union with the will of God. Hallelujah. So you keep seeing this in the book of John, that as I see my Father, so I do. That keeps repeating itself, because that is one of the ways you come into alignment or come into oneness with the will of God. Like I said communion means coming into oneness with God. So I'm just trying to explain what it means to come into oneness with God. Now, the next thing is we come into oneness with his nature. Can we say his nature? Hallelujah. Let's look at 2 Peter 1 verse 4. 2 Peter 1 verse 4. It says, whereby given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these things ye might be partakers of his what? Divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So, like I said, all the things that the Holy Spirit is to bring to us is to bring us to this place where we'll come into partaking of his divine nature, meaning we'll become one with God in his nature. Hallelujah. And what is his nature? What is the nature of God? God is love. Hallelujah. So, coming into that love, coming into the love of God, meaning you have come into oneness with God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Say, he that loveth not, knoweth not God. For what? For God is love. Every other thing you want to talk about can be summarized in this word, that God is love. Hallelujah. And the third thing, because of time, is coming into oneness with his power. Hallelujah. You understand? Coming into oneness with his power. Another word for that power can be wisdom. That means in the interpretation of life. You understand? God wants us to come into oneness with, with his wisdom or his power. Hallelujah. So, power is expressed in living. How you know a man is powerful is how the man is living. Hallelujah. So, another interpretation of that is you will see wisdom of God in living. Hallelujah. The way you are able to judge and interpret life shows a man who has come into oneness with God. You see Jesus, doing that also. Hallelujah. You see Jesus, the way he lived. You will see him do something and he said, this thing is done to fulfill all righteousness. Hallelujah. That is wisdom being in display. Hallelujah. Doing it the way the Lord will want it to be done. That Jesus will go to a place and then he will just heal one person. He has all the power to do many things, everything. You understand? But just healing just that one person is a show of power. Hallelujah. Amen. So God wants us to come into oneness with his power. Hallelujah. And another way to put that is his works. His works. God wants us to come into oneness with his works. Can we say amen? All right, so let's look at, let's journey back to Genesis. Let's look at where communion began from. and then we'll just push it from there. Genesis 1 from verse 26 to 27. Genesis 1, 26 to 27. I say, God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God made man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he what? He them. At this point, God had not begun fellowship with man, because what you have here is just spirit and soul. In Genesis 2, let's go to Genesis 2 from verse 7. Genesis 2 from verse 7. It says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became what? A living soul. You know, of course, we didn't see the Lord always coming to the garden here until, you know, Genesis 3, when man fell. That was when we now know that God used to come to the garden, you know, to visit man. Genesis 3, let's look at Genesis 3. It said, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amidst the trees of the garden. So it's clear that, you know, for us to have vital, you know, communion with the Lord, spirit, soul, and body must be involved. Hallelujah. In Genesis 1, when God created man, spirit, soul, God had not yet begun communion. In Genesis 2, you know, God made body and put spirit, hallelujah, breath into his nostrils, and man became a living soul. And then God began to have communion with man. Hallelujah. You know, until the fall. So your spirit, your soul, your body, you can't say you are praying or you're having communion and then you are distracted. Hallelujah. That is my spirit that is praying. My soul can be doing whatsoever it takes. No, no, no. You are not communing. Hallelujah. Amen. Example. I can't be talking to my pastor, Pastor Friday, you know, and then while I'm talking to him, I'm just distracted. I'm just looking at every other place. Will you see that as I'm communicating with him? Because I'm not paying attention. If you can see my soul, you understand. While I'm talking to you, my soul is pricing paper in the market. You know, my soul is thinking about salary. That is not, you know, communion. Hallelujah. So spirit, soul, and body must be involved in what? In communion. Hallelujah. If you there are some people, you know, in communion, they've conditioned their body to take certain postures. They just know once their knee touch the ground, they are gone. You know, their body has been conditioned, you understand, to take certain postures, you understand, that it enables them, you know, to commune with the Lord, because they've done it over time. So their body has adjusted, you understand, to, you know, communion. Hallelujah. So spirit, soul, and body must be involved in communion. These are the basic level. Hallelujah. You know, so I wouldn't want to push it, you know, beyond that. But I just want us to understand that. Can we say amen? Amen. All right, let's move on to Genesis 4, verse 9 to 16. Genesis 4, verse 9 to 16. It said, and the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what has that done? The voice of thy brother's blood cried unto me from the ground, and now at that cost from the earth, which has opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Of course, we know the story. This was when Cain, you know, after the brought sacrifice to God, you know, and God rejected that of Cain and accepted that of Abel. And then, you know, Cain killed his brother because the Lord rejected his sacrifice, you know. And God came and was asking Cain about his brother, you know, and then cursed him. He said, now at that cost from the earth, because that which has opened a mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. Verse 12, he said, when thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shall thou be in the earth. Verse 13, and Cain said unto the Lord, my punishment is greater than I can bear. I want us to draw some principle from here. He said, behold, thou hast driven me out this day from the face of the earth, and from thy face shall I hid, and I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond in the earth. Now, we didn't see God say, We didn't see God drive him out of his presence. But Cain's interpretation of that curse is to leave God's presence. What God only did by cursing him was to limit him so that sin will not prosper more in him. Are we together? What God did was to limit him. Sometimes God does that to us, you know, to limit us so that, you know, ambition, so that sin will not prosper, you understand, in our life. So God puts limitations here and there, puts limitations here and there so that we'll be able to come to him. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You know, so it's clear that one of the things that happens when, or what happened when Adam sinned, you know, he said Adam hid himself from the presence of the Lord. And that thing has followed man from Adam down. It has followed man from Adam down. That you can see in Cain, that Cain could leave presence. Hallelujah. Cain left the presence of God. And you can see by the time he traced down to, you know, men, you know, in generations to generations, one of the things that you see is that they're always hiding from God. And there are different ways to hide from God. Can I tell us, one of the easiest ways to hide from God is to be embedded in sacrifices and offerings, activities. Now, people who say they are looking for God, you know, you will see them, they will do many things. Some will tell you that they are not going to eat. You know, those monks, they will just, what are they looking for? Is God they are looking for? Are we together? They think is in that many sacrifice. Are we together? Is in the many sacrifice. Clean of this, clean of that, or abstaining from whatsoever. That is in that sacrifice that will be able to reach God. But really, many a times, those sacrifices are an avenue actually to hide from God. Holy Spirit, give me words to be able to express this. It happens in church. You see someone who probably is no longer in good terms with the Lord. Instead of him to go to the presence of God to, you know, amend his or her ways, he would cover up those things with activities. He or she would think he's in the many activities that he will be able to receive pardon from the Lord. Are we together? So the person will still be, in quote, fervent, he will do many things, but you will never see that person have a personal time with the Lord. Once you talk about personal time with the Lord, he's always running. Because he knows anytime he comes to that place, the Lord will confront that issue. Do you understand? So he covers up in sacrifices, covers up in many activities. It happens even in the home. Sometimes, you know, you offend your wife, instead of it to say sorry, you will go and be doing many things. You go and buy gifts, buy this, buy. All you just need is sorry. But you think he's in the many sacrifice, trying to do this, trying to do that, trying to do this, trying to do that. That's how you will. So he's a nature in man. And he's a work of flesh. I don't know if you understand. He's a work of flesh that Satan did in man. That makes man feel that he would always obtain righteousness by his labor. But that is not the way of God. So Adam sinned, and the first thing he did was to cover himself with what? With leaves. We do that a lot. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So I said Cain misinterpreted God and instead left God's presence in the place of what? Of communion. So leaving God's presence means they will no longer be communion with the Lord. That's what it means. You know, and so looking at that, I was able to bring out a few things that I saw in that and is applicable to us. Number one. Is that God, number one lies that Satan tells us, is that intimacy is only for a selected few. Sometimes you hear daddy's experiences or the things that daddy do and say, wow. Car. You know, God loves daddy. Maybe that's why those things are happening. I don't know if you understand. Sometimes you look at someone like Baba Adeboye. You will not look at his work, or you look at where he is presently and say, he can only take people like that. To have that kind of communion. So Satan lies to us that it is only a selected few, some superstars, that can only have intimate communion with the Lord. So because somewhere in your mind, you just feel it's not for you. So you are not giving yourself to communion. Are we together? So, number two is that God is too far to have communion with. There's a mindset that God is far. You know, so when you think about God, the first place you are looking up heavens. You know, there's a way heaven. You know, heaven is just like you have to take plane, you have to take one jet, and then you are traveling and traveling. You leave this earth, you know, you leave, you know, our planet, and then you bust into the first heaven, bust into the second heaven, bust into the third heaven, and then you come out of the third heaven, then you now enter the heaven of God. Wow. So it looks like a lifetime trip. And scripture says that the word is near thee. Thank you, Daddy. Please, can you take us to that scripture? God is the closest to you than even the clothes you are wearing. God is as close to you, or is closer to you than the clothes you are wearing. Can I tell you, God is closer to you than the air you are breathing. Romans 10. Okay, you say, but the word is near the Deuteronomy 30, verse 14. Okay, thank you. You say, but what's here thou? What's yet is the word is near thee, even in their mouth and in their heart. That is the word of faith which we breathe. Do you know that the coming of the Holy Spirit into your heart? That's God already in your heart. Do you understand? So God is within you. Something you are looking for far is already within you. Do you understand what I just said? You are looking for, you know, and that's why people go to mountains. They just feel there's something about that mountain. You have height. You understand? When you go, so you are closer to heaven. You know, it gives you advantage, air advantage or height advantage. The God you are looking for is here. Amen. So it's a big fallacy, it's a big lie that Satan has, that God is so far. Can I tell us what makes God look far? It's our sins. You see that in Isaiah. He said, his hands are not too short, neither has his ears too heavy to hear us. He said, but what has put us far from God is our sin. So the distance between you and God is your sin. Hallelujah. So every time that it seems as if God is far from you, it's your sin. Hallelujah. Now that sin may not be an obvious sin. It's an error in judgment. Error in judgment is sin. Not even having faith that God is close is sin. He said, whatsoever is not of faith is what? Is sin. Hallelujah. Isaiah 59, verse 1 to 2, for those who would need to write. Say, but their iniquities are separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you. God did not hide his face. It's your sin that hid his face from you. God, I'm here. But sin will not allow you to see God. And that's why the day understanding comes, you just got that God is close. It's like, what are we looking for? He is just here because understanding, you know, has been supplied. The Lord will give us understanding in Jesus' name. All right, so the third, I've already talked about the third. Sacrifices and devoting oneself to activities can replace communion. It was obvious that Cain was already interacting with something. He was already having communion with sin, you know. So he felt those sacrifices and offering coming to can replace his communion with the Lord. But at last, he was surprised that it doesn't work. So sacrifices, you know, people have given. Have you not seen people? They know they are in sin. But they will make money in error. They will not bring money to church. Thinking with many money, they'll be able to bribe God. It doesn't work that way. They just want to have some level of nearness to God. Do you understand? So they use many things. They say, okay, I'll build church. I'll build a church for you. I'll do this for you. Those things are not bad, but they are not to replace communion. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Then the fourth thing I wrote here, I said, Satan wants you to feel he doesn't exist. You're wondering, how does that affect communion? Mommy said on yesterday, he said, our life is a warfare. Our life is a warfare. So everything is worrying you not to have communion. Do you understand? When you wake up in the morning and you are to have your devotion and you just feel like not having, it's as if one spirit had just, you know, blowed air on you. Can you just sleep some more? Now, not being aware that thing is even an attack. Are you getting it? You just think it's normal. So you will sleep, falala. You just sleep more. Are we together? So Satan walks behind. He's the one that would cause somebody to offend you. Are you getting it? And come and interpret that offense for you to be hurt, so that you'll not be able to have communion with the Lord. Now, he does all those things without, how do I put it? He does all those things at the background. So you don't know, so it makes you feel he's not involved. But he's the one involved. Do you understand? So he's the one involved in all those, you know, drama and all those things that happens for you not to have communion. But he wants you to feel that he is not around. I don't even have anything to do with this. But you know, if somewhere you know that something is attacking me, something is not making me do it, you want to do the opposite. Just imagine Satan comes and faces you and say, "You don't do devotion. Don't have communion." Ah, you say, "You're all look by me. I will have devotion. In fact, because you have said it, I'm going to have devotion." Do you understand? So he does everything and hides himself so that you won't see that he's the one involved. So you can go 2 weeks, 3 weeks without devotion. It will just be finding you that you are okay. You are still okay. You are okay. Don't worry. You do it next week. Actually, it's just 3 weeks. 3 weeks. What is 3 weeks? You have it next week. And you just look for one time, one Saturday. You just lock yourself. And then the next Saturday, they tell you that there's meeting in church, you know. Of course, you know, almost every of our Saturdays now. And then you come again, and you say, "And don't worry, next week Saturday." You know, during the week, you are very busy. Just wait, next week Saturday. And next week Saturday, by Thursday, you hear that there's a meeting. And then you say, "When will I have this thing?" You say, "Don't worry, you're even coming to church. You don't have any personal devotion. You are coming to church. You are okay. After all, you still pray in tongues, you know." I'm telling you the truth. Yeah. You know, after I still pray in tongues, what is this? It's not like you are committing sin. There's no obvious sin in your life. Yeah, you are okay. You are fine. Hallelujah. But not knowing that there's somebody that is falling that, so you just be dying. So that is one of the things. Most likely, it's, you know, of course, it's not written, but most likely, maybe Cain didn't even know that Satan was the one falling those things. Maybe. I don't know, because it was not written. He said he left the presence of God. He didn't say he went to worship Satan. They didn't say he was not worshiping Satan or no. But he was worshiping the devil unknowingly. Do you understand? Then the next thing that I wrote here, number 5 lies that Satan tells us. Satan wants you to feel he's too powerful. So if he cannot make you feel he's not even around, you know, if you become aware, then he projects himself as too powerful to dissuade you and to hinder you. So, an example, he preys on your weakness and say, you know he's there, but just tell you that God won't even hear you. Why do you want to pray? Look at those of yours. He brings things, sometimes he can even bring things of 10 years. Things you did 10 years, he will just bring it and paint it fresh. So you just be wallowing in sorrow, say, how could I have done this? You just be there 1 hour. You're just reminiscing in things that the Lord has even forgotten that happened. Are we together? So he comes, you know, and make things very obvious. And then you are just there. You are just there. So if you look at some denominations, Satan has planted himself so powerful. So even time they should use for communion, there isn't to bind the devil. So all their time they should use for communion, they use it to war Satan. Do you understand? So all their prayer points from beginning to the end is about Satan. Hallelujah. At the end of the day, they are sweating and they think they've had communion. That is not communion. So there is a extreme that makes you feel Satan is not, just forget about Satan. He's already dead. Satan is dead. Jesus killed him and Satan doesn't exist again. You just live your life. And there's the other one that makes you feel, Ogundileo is in everything. So every time you want to fellowship, he just appears. So you keep binding him, keep binding, and those guys will just be taking turn. As you bind these around, go, yeah, you come. So they'll just be exchanging. And you're wondering, you never finish binding the devil. Hallelujah. Amen. Then the last, you know, thing I wrote here, number 6, I am busy, I can't have communion. I am very busy. I can't have communion. I remember in school, you know, when anybody tells us that they are busy, they can't come for fellowship or come for prayers or whatever, what we used to tell them, that busy is being under Satan's yoke. Anytime you say you are busy, you are being under Satan's yoke. Especially when he has to do, you are busy to do the things of God. Just know Satan has put a yoke on you. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Because there is a mindset that communion is just an activity. So you are looking for when you will finish what you are doing to come and have communion. I'll get in a bit because my emphasis is actually to, you know, talk about communion as a lifestyle. Bringing, how to bring communion into our everyday life as a worker, as a student, you know, whatever you're doing, how to bring communion. So you say you are busy. How can you have communion in that your busy schedule? Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. So if you say you love God, you must love communion. You can't say you love God and not love communion. You can't say you love God because there's something that he said, which I want to read for us. It says communion is how we... communion, or it's in communion that doctrine becomes personalized, tailored and detailed in converting knowledge to ways. Like Mama always say, you can't say you love God and you don't love his word. Hallelujah. So it's in the place of communion that whatsoever you have had in church, the Lord now personalizes it for you, how it relates to you, brings instruction on what to do concerning that word. Are we together? So that word will be converted to a way in your life. So if you don't have communion, there is no way that thing can become life. And that's why we have many head knowledge, little life. Because the environment where that thing is converted is communion. Hallelujah. Amen. All right, so let's look at... quickly, let me rush over this. Principles of having rich communion. So whether you are a worker, anybody, I want you to just know this. Principles of having a rich communion. Number one, we must learn how to shut our doors. Psalm 91, verse 1. Psalm 91, verse 1, quickly. Also, Matthew 5, verse 6. Say that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I like that place, secret. Let's look at Matthew 6, verse 5 to 6. Matthew 6, 5, okay. It says, and when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in corners of the street. This thing is a sacrifice that they think will bring God or can draw them to God. It says, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have what? Their reward. Verse 6. It says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into where? Thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father, which is in where? The secret. And the Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So just stay here. I remember Pastor G helping us to see how the Lord has moved from the temple kind of fellowship, hallelujah, in the Old Testament, to a new way of fellowship. You are now the temple of the Lord, hallelujah. So when it says enter in, it's not necessarily talking about enter into a room or enter into a house or enter into, you understand. It's talking about your heart. How together? Say enter into thy closet. Where's your closet? Your heart is your closet. It says, and when thou hast come into thy closet, say, shut thy door. Meaning, shut it against distractions. Shut it against all kinds of, you know, noises around. Shut it against worry. Shut it against everything that could distract you. Hallelujah. Because it is in the secret. That's where the Father is. Hallelujah. That's why it's difficult to reach God with your mind. When you are a sensual person, a mind person, you will not be able to touch God. Because God is not in your mind. Where God is in your heart. Hallelujah. Or where God wants to commune with is in your heart. And when God is defining man, in Genesis, it said, the heart of man has become what? Desperately wicked. So the first thing God is looking at is the heart. It said, man seeth, you know, at what they say, but God looketh at the heart. Why is he always looking at the heart? Because that's your closet. He said, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So how God defines you is what is in your heart. What is the state of your heart? That's how God sees and defines you. We can define you from many things outwardly, but God, it is the state of your heart. That's how God defines a man. So that is where fellowship takes place. True fellowship takes place in the heart. Have you not seen, sometimes you say, Oremi, let's have heart-to-heart talk. You may have been talking many things, but you just get to that point and say, can we have heart-to-heart talk? Meaning, out of all the things, this is the real thing. Why do you always say heart-to-heart? That's your secret. Hallelujah. Amen. So he said, the Father who is in the... So where the Father is in the secret. And we must learn how to shut our doors. Can we say amen? Amen. So that is shutting your door from external distractions. But there's also internal distractions. Or internal chaos. You may have shut your door against external distractions. And then internal distractions. So external distractions could be your phone, could be the noises around, could be people trying to get your attention and all those things. Those are external distractions. But there is the one called internal chaos. That one is most times more louder than the external. By the time you come in the place of fellowship, your mind will just start wandering. You start thinking about many things. You can be there 1 hour. You have not had communion because your mind is busy. So what the Lord wants us to do is learn how to quiet our spirit. Psalm 46 verse 10 to 11. Habakkuk 2 verse 20. Psalm 46 verse 10 to 11. It says, be still and know that I am God. So without stillness, you will never be able to know. You will not be able to receive communication. It said, I'll be exalted among the heathen. Thank you. You can go to Habakkuk 2 20. It says, but the Lord is in the holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. So learning how to be still in the presence of God is a great virtue in having a rich communion with the Lord. Hallelujah. So part of the ways you can use to quieten your spirit is through scriptures. You know, like Pastor told us last week, worship, you know, have spontaneous songs. So when you begin to, you know, bring out spontaneous songs, your mind, you begin to gather your mind into one place. Now your mind will not be focused on that thing that you are doing. Hallelujah. So practical things to note when you are going to your communion. One, or let me put it this way. When you are having thoughts, you understand, practical things to do. One, if it's thoughts of things to do, these are some of the things that trouble our mind. When you come to a place of communion, or you are trying to commune with the Lord, that's when you just remember, I've not done my assignment too. I've not called Sister Benjamin. I've not called Brother Theophilus. I've not called this. I need to do this. I need to do that. How many of us does that happen to? It's like, why did I not remember all these things before? They just come bombarding you. That soup will spoil if I don't go to warm it now. And it's always in the hurry now. That soup will spoil if I don't do it now. You better call this person before you forget again now. So what should you do? Please, when you are going in the place of communion, take a note and viral. So as those remembering, those thoughts are coming, just writing them. I need to do this. I need to do that. I need to do that. When I finish my communion or devotion, I will do this. I will do this. I will do that. I will do that. Is that okay? So that you don't forget. So that's very practical, please. So immediately just put those thoughts on paper and then you're able to take your mind off, you know, those thoughts. All right, so when it is thoughts of sin, you know, sin consciousness, what you do is to confess your faults and genuinely repent. Don't brush it away. If confess your faults and then you genuinely repent and then you take your mind off it. All right, so then the number three thing, you know, in how to have a rich communion is get rid of offenses. So you confess them, you forgive, and you forget. Get rid of what? Of offenses. You know, Daddy was making a reference to this. I'll just make reference to it. You know, Jesus said, when you come to the place, you know, of prayer or sacrifice, and you remember you have hurt against another, what should you do? Say, drop it, you know, and go and, you know, amend your ways with that person and then come back to give your sacrifice. So if peradventure you're in the place of, you know, communion, or while you're trying to have communion with the Lord and you remember a hurt or someone offended you, or you offended somebody, you know, just receive forgiveness, ask the Lord for forgiveness, and then you can write it down that when I'm done, I will call this person to apologize. And when you are done, call the person and do what? And apologize. Then number four, this one is very, very important. Many a times we go into the place of communion without having expectation. Have expectation. How do you know someone have expectation? You don't go with your Bible and paper. You are going to talk to the Lord. No Bible and paper to write the things that your mind is not a computer that can keep everything. But because there's no expectation that the Lord will speak to you, you don't go with anything to trap the thoughts of God. Hallelujah. So you must have what? Expectation. Every time you are communing with the Lord, there must be expectation. Hallelujah. Amen. So I say it's a great delight to talk to God. I say, but it is a greater delight when God talks to you. There's nothing you can use to compare it in the world that God talks to you. Hallelujah. Now, when I use God, I mean at whatsoever level. Whether at the level of the, you know, milk, at the level of Christ, at the level of the Father, I'm just talking. Holy Spirit is God. So just, I want you to understand me. There's nothing as, how many times have the Holy Spirit spoken to you? There's a joy, there's a refreshing, there's, you are just, there's just something inside of you that there's a calmness, there is clarity, there is resolve. I can't explain it, but it's just there. Hallelujah. Amen. So because we cannot determine when God will speak and what he will say, we must consistently be in communion. Throughout the whole day, you must consistently be in communion. So you don't limit communion, like Pastor CJ said, you blessed me last week, to devotion. Devotion is only an aspect of your communion life. Devotion is only an aspect of what? Of your communion life. You may have devotion and not have communion, but you cannot have communion and devotion will not be part of your daily routine. Hallelujah. All right. Then let's look at Psalm 56, verse 6 to 7. Psalm 56, verse 6 to 7. Okay, let's look at 7. No, I guess Psalm 95. Say, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Verse 7. He is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if ye will hear his voice. There are two words there, two words that are very important that I want to draw your attention to, is if and will. So, if is conditional. If you will hear, so you can choose not to hear. I'm talking about expectation. You can choose not to hear the voice of the Lord when you don't have expectations. But you can choose to also be attentive, opening your heart for the Lord to speak to you continuously and consistently. Hallelujah. Then the next is will. Your will must be involved. Hallelujah. If you don't have a willing heart, say if you be willing and obedient, say you shall eat the fruit of the land. Hallelujah. So let me quickly look at how to bring communion into your everyday life. So you are a banker, you are a lawyer, you are a doctor, you are an engineer, you're always on the road. It doesn't matter what you are doing, you are a student. How do you bring communion into your everyday life? All right, so I read a few things from one or two persons. Smith Wigglesworth, someone asked Smith Wigglesworth. He said, someone asked Smith how much time he prayed every day. Smith answered, I never pray for more than 15 minutes at a time, but I never go more than 15 minutes without praying. Do you understand that? He said, I never pray more than 15 minutes at a time. Say, but I never go without 15, or I never go 15 minutes without praying. Now, Let me read another thing that he said. He said, I have trained or I've tried to mentally remind myself of God's presence every 15 minutes. Should I read it again? He said, I have tried and trained myself to mentally remind myself of God's presence every 15 minutes. So you can set an alarm and put God's presence. Oh, these are practical. You can set an alarm and put God's presence every 15 minutes. Once you know the alarm rings, you just see God's presence. Consciously, you should know that I should do something, you know, to connect with God. I don't know why I'm not having communion. These are practical steps that we can put an alarm every 15 minutes or every 30 minutes to consciously remind yourself of God's presence and do something that helps you connect with God. Could be a 3, 4, 5 minutes prayer under your breath, all together. You know, could be meditating on what was spoken on Sunday, meditating on scripture, meditating on devotion that you had. Do something that helps you connect with God. Amen. All right. I read something else. Someone said, was it here? I wrote it. Oh my God. Warren Buffett, in one of Bishop Oedipus' book, Warren Buffett said, the day that is busiest for me, or the day I know that is going to be busiest for me, he said, those are the days I spend more time in communion with the Lord. For us, the day you are busy, that's the day you spend less time. He said, the day that is going, he knows that it's going to be busy. An example, I know Thursday is usually busy for mommy. Those days that he knows is going to be very, he said, those are the days I spend more time in communion with the Lord. So if probably his devotion is 5 to 6, he'll wake up that day, 4:30 or 4, and pray to 6. Because he knows he needs extra grace, he needs more grace, he needs more of his presence to be able to tackle the business of the day. So you don't need less. Don't say, I'm too busy. Today, we have meeting, we have board meeting. We have this, we have that, we have that. Don't worry, when I come back, I pray. No, you have missed it. Just the way you want to wake up early to cook, because you know that they're busy. You want to wake up early to cook, to arrange things, to do everything. Wake up early also to have devotion. And if possible, have it more that day. Because the normal supply you get in a day, because that day you have extra burden, you need extra. Do we get it? All right. Okay, I'll take another quote again, and then, are we being blessed? Sorry. It said, before beginning any task, this is from my brother, Brother Lawrence. I like this brother. He said, before beginning any task, I would say to God, with childlike trust, O God, since thou art with me, and it is thy will that I must now apply myself to these outward duties, I beseech thee, assist me with thy grace, that I may continue in thy presence. To this end, O Lord, be with me in this thy work. Now, it is now his work. Accept the labor of my hands, and dwell within my heart with all thy fullness. Now, he now said, moreover, this is his prayer. Now he's not talking. Say, moreover, as I walk, I will continue to hold familiar conversations, offering to him my little acts of services, and entreating the unfailing assistance of his grace. He said, when I had finished whatsoever he's doing, he said, I will examine how I had performed my duty. If well, I give him thanks. If ill, I besought his pardon. Do we get that? So there's no excuse for anybody. Because the mindset is, you leave God at home, you go and do your work, then you come back and meet God. We don't take God into every of our activities. Brethren, believe me, count it as lost every day you have not used or spent in communion. So any day that you have not used or spent in communion, just count it as lost. It doesn't matter what you achieved that day. Because you have lost heaven's contribution in your life. Amen. You say life is calibrated in time. Yes. Months, weeks, days, hours, minutes, and seconds. So seconds makes up your minutes. Minute makes up your hour. Hour makes up your day. Day makes up your week. Week makes up your years. Hallelujah. So if you can break your life into seconds and minutes and hours, of course, they'll tell you that a 75-year-old man slept most likely 25 years of his life. You know, but it doesn't look like that. You just sleep every day, wake up, sleep every day. At least we are sleeping 6 to 8 hours. You'd have slept 25 years of your life away. So it means that anyone that wastes your time or anything that wastes your time is wasting your life. So never count time you spend in communion as a waste, rather as an investment. Because that is truly how you redeem time. So you spend 8 hours at work. What they are doing, even though they are paying you, actually they are wasting your life. The only way to redeem that 8 hours is by involving communion in your daily activities. What will you profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses soul? So I said the way to redeem time is to bring communion with God in our what? In our daily activities or daily labor. Doing little things for God. So Ephesians 6 verse 5 to 8. Ephesians 6 verse 5 to 8. It says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. To it, not with eye service as men pleaser, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. 7. With good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever thing any man doeth, the same he shall receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. Now, the interpretation I want to bring here is that until you begin to see that you are placed in whatsoever you are, whether as a student or as an officer or as a worker, that it is the Lord that placed you there. So you are an ambassador of the Lord in that place. So you bring the kingdom, you bring the principles, you bring the culture of the kingdom into that place. Meaning, you are there, you are representing God. You carry his presence to your office, you carry his presence to your workplace, you carry his presence everywhere, you are carrying that presence. So you will see your work, not as an end in itself, but as a means to bring pleasure to God. How do you make first class? It's very easy. It's not by killing yourself. Do all you are doing as unto the Lord. So imagine that the Lord is the one that sent you to school. Are we together? When you are reading, read it as unto the Lord. Well, I don't know if you understand. Read it as unto the Lord. Do your work as unto the Lord. That way, you will keep God in your consciousness. When you begin to see your work as unto your boss, that's where a whole lot of issues come in. And that's why the first thing we complain is salary. Because somewhere in our mind, that's your reward. But we don't see that environment as an opportunity to, you know, bring advance what God is doing in you and bring pleasure to him. Let me read another quote of someone, Brother Lawrence. He said, we can do little things for God. He said, I turn the cake that is frying on the pan for the love of God. As he's walking, he was a chef. Thank you, Daddy. As he's walking, every little thing. He said, to pick, you know, a straw from the ground is not too weighty if it's for the love of God. I don't know if you pick. To pick something from the ground, he said, it's not too weighty for him if he's doing it for the love of God. So it means the love of God should engineer everything that we do. So whatsoever thing you are doing, can you do it for the love of God? He said, when that is done and there is nothing else to do, I prostrate myself in worship before him who has given me the grace to walk afterwards. Do you know that after he has finished turning the cake for the love of God and then there is nothing else to do, he said he prostrates to the one who has given him grace to even do that work afterwards. So you can see a man who has God consciousness and has brought God into everything that he's doing. Whether he's sewing shoe for somebody, whether he's cooking, whether he's washing plates, he's doing it for the love of God. That's how to have communion. So while you're washing the plates, you're in communion. You're praying in tongues. You're meditating. You are doing your work. You're in communion. Hallelujah. And the more, you know the funny thing? When you do that, the Lord will give you speed to quickly finish your work so that you have time to spend with him. And that's the reason many times when we have challenge in our work, we are not quick to call God. We're not quick to even ask him, because in the first place, we didn't even ask him concerning the work. We didn't invite him when we started the work. So when you get stuck halfway, there's no inviting him to ask him. When you finish, there's no thanking him, because God is far from your mind. Hallelujah. So our devotion to God begins first with the act of obedience to communion. Let me explain what I mean. They said obedience is better to sacrifice. It's better than sacrifice, rather. And to heed than the fact of the ram. So there is a commandment, or there is an intention in God's heart that we all come into the place of communion. 1 Corinthians said, you know, God who is faithful, who has called us unto the fellowship of his son. So the intention of God is that you come into fellowship, right? So your devotion to God is your obedience to that call. I don't know let me put it, you know, there are things you want to do. Maybe the Lord, somewhere in your heart, you feel you should give somebody, you know, food, you should give somebody rice, you should give somebody money, you should do something for somebody. That is not your first obedience to the Lord. Your first obedience to the Lord is your call or your response to the place of communion. If you do all those things and you are not responding to the call of communion, you are putting the cart before the horse. And those are the reasons why we get to a point, we get stranded, we get frustrated. I've been helping this person, I've been doing this, this person is not responding. It's because you are putting the cart before the horse. If it's in the place of communion, you always have renewed strength. There will always be renewed vigor. There will always be, you know, refreshing in the place of communion. The Lord will always give you strategies. The Lord will always, you know, give you informations that you may not even be asking. You know, there are things that you don't even ask your friends. They just tell you, bro, if you know what happened today, did you ask me? Did he ask me? But I'm comfortable to share with you. So there are things the Holy Spirit will share with you because it's comfortable around you. You have earned trust. Or you don't know you can earn the trust of the Lord. And the Lord does not just open his things to anybody. You must earn his trust. So there are things, like Pastor told us concerning that woman, there are things in your workplace that the Lord can tell you. There are things the Lord can show you. Someone said something I just want to say, but not like it's doctrinal. The person said, where was Daniel when they erected that statue in Babylon? That where was he? That maybe probably was having communion. When the others went out and then they were caught in the trap of everybody bow down. Where was Daniel? Why was Daniel not part of people to bow down? I'm not saying it's doctrinal. It's not written, but the person, it's just his thought. But that's the question. Where was he? Where was Daniel? Because it was only Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego they thought. Where was Daniel? Maybe he was praying at home. I think I've shared, I don't know if I've shared this before, but it happened in Lautech. Maybe Daddy may remember. It was Pastor Chas. Daddy knows Pastor Chas. Abiona that shared this. Say why they were in school. And I don't know what level they were. Somebody, one of their brothers or one of their brethren, they were supposed to have exam the next day. So the brother told them that the exam will not hold. That the Lord told him that exam will not hold. So everybody shall head, you know, some believe, some did not believe. You know, they went home, they see red. You understand? The brother just went on his own. They still read. They came to the examination hall. They carried everything they were supposed to carry. That if it holds, beautiful, if it doesn't hold, no problem. And they were all sitting. And they started sharing answer sheets. They shared answer sheets. It was at the point where they were to share question paper that they had at the Ezraiot. And that's how they canceled that exam. It did not hold. Now, he said the exam not holding did not, is not what caught him. He said the brother was not in class. He was too sure what God told him. He did not come to class. He was, he said, he was supposed to be in the examination. They were looking, they did not see him in class. He did not come. He said he went home crying. He said, how can somebody have a communion with you to know the exam won't hold? And did not come. They were all believers. Himself, he was a leader. Communion, yato communion. I'm telling you. He said he went home crying. He said that thing was a turnaround for him in his relationship with the Lord. That he went home crying, God, how can someone be this close to you? And I'm serving you. And I didn't have any privy to that information. So many of us will be happy thanking God. Hey, where is I'm doing? Ah, that brother prophet in here. Ah. But for someone, that was a challenge. That was a challenge. How many times we hear things and then we just laugh and gloss over it? Instead of them to push us to a place of communion with the Lord. That, oh God, how can daddy be having this kind of rich communion? Every time you come and say, God told me, God said this, God, when are you going to speak to me? And then you begin to press for the Lord. Even though we have been instructed, we don't go to communion to press for voice. We go to communion to have fellowship with the Lord. So you can be reading scripture and the Lord will speak to you. Like Pasidi told us, all the different forms, we can be communicating as brethren. You see that in Malachi. He said, they that fear the Lord, as they spoke one to another. He said, the Lord opened a book of remembrance for them. Hallelujah. So why communicating with brethren, the Lord can speak? That's why your heart must be open. You don't know how and when he is going to speak. So that staying in posture of communion helps you to be able to hear God anytime he decides to speak. And he can speak through your children. Can speak through your spouse. It can speak through your friends. Can speak through while we are in church. Can speak. Our ability to pick and hear what God is saying is very, very important. Hallelujah. I'll round up now. It said some people put their best energies in creative thinking. But instead of focusing on being creative, focus on being obedient. Give your best energies on waiting or to waiting on God in his presence, listening to his voice, and then moving out in action only when he has spoken. Hallelujah. I know socialist or motivational, they say think. It's good to think, but don't give your best energy to creative thinking outside of communion. Would I say, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? Is it about his law you are thinking? Is it about his presence you are thinking? Is it about his instruction you are thinking? Is it about his, like David said, how amiable are your tabernacles? Are those the things you are thinking about? Paul said that, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is lovely, those are things that you should think about. So instead of spending, your creative energy or your energy in thinking, according to Matthew 6, thinking about what to eat, what to wear, clothes to wear, job and all that. Think about the things of God. And in doing so, what will happen? The Lord will begin to even bring illumination concerning those issues. All right, maybe next time we'll look at the importance of lifestyle, communion. I'll just say two and then I'll round up. Number one, I say communion brings constant calibration of our soul. It brings constant calibration to our soul. Meaning when you are in continuous communion with the Lord, what will happen is that, the Lord will always bring calibrations for your soul. So it's a good lifestyle to stop and take candid spiritual inventory of yourself. Part of the times I enjoy most, and of course I'm getting better, I remember from school days, is when I'm in the restroom. I don't know how that thing. Is that maybe I'm taking my shower or I'm using the You know, right? You can say it for me. It's as if, I don't know how, thoughts of God would just be flushing my mind. You know, as I just put that water from my head like this, you know, I'm just remembering, you know, things. It's as if they're just bringing, you know, I don't know how. So I kept wondering. I said, God, why? So it's as if I've been very busy. So just entering that place, I'm shut away from. How many of you, when you enter the bedroom, you don't think about many things? I don't know how that thing happens. Maybe that was why in Genesis, Adam was and his wife, they were naked. You understand? There's just that thing. It's as if you're just wearing clothes. You just wear. I'm not saying go naked now. I'm not saying start up. No, I'm just saying it's as if when you just wear clothes, you just wear the cares of this world. You are just, you know, you're always on the go. Once you just wear clothes, you're always on the go. But there's a level of relaxation, level of, I don't know, just that happens in that place, that small place, that you just enter like, and you just sit down to, it's like, well, and then open. You know, things just open. Oh, you're just putting water. And then that's when thoughts are just coming. You know? But the Lord does not just want it to be a bedroom thing. He wants to be consistent, continuous, that we are open to his thoughts. Amen. So, that thing, I also remember many a times when, you know, I just lay down on my bed. That's when all the thoughts of the activities of the day just start coming. And then Lord start pointing. You didn't do this one well. This one you heard here. You shouldn't have said this. So, you see, that communal helps to constantly bring calibration to your soul. You understand? You shouldn't go 2-3 days and then you've not been able to do an inventory of yourself. Hallelujah. Then second thing I'll put and then I'll round up. I say communion is how you culture the atmosphere of the spirit at work. You build a strong wall against negative atmosphere where righteousness can thrive. When you have a strong communion, you know Daddy said, we are strong as our communion. And you are not the only one working in that place. You have people who are carrying negative spirits, negative atmosphere. So when they come, it is atmosphere jamming atmosphere. Spirits jamming spirits. It is one that is stronger that will prevail. So when you have a weak spirit or a weak communion, you will have a weak, you know, atmosphere around you. And what will happen is that, you know, around you, evil can easily thrive. But when you have a strong communion with the Lord, what happens is that you will have a strong spirit and you have a strong spiritual atmosphere around you, such that when you come around, you know, the kingdom of God is what takes preeminence in that environment. So if you are here at work, in school, in your hostel, sin still thrives. I mean, you know it. In fact, you know, they are even influencing you. You may know, I don't do this, I don't do that, but it is thriving. They see you, they are not even scared. You know, they are not even remorseful. Let's not say it before brother this. Let's not do it before sister this. They do it in your front. It's because you have a weak spirit or a weak communal life. And that's why you are not able to judge sin. With a strong communal life, you know, we are able to judge sin. The last thing I will say is that, like Daddy said it, you know, I'll just repeat what Daddy said. He said communion is built by doctrine. We cannot have a strong communion outside of strong doctrine. The reason why many persons are weak in communion is because they have or they are receiving doctrine that cannot strengthen their spirit man. Hallelujah. But it's possible to also be hearing light and still have a weak communion because we are not applying ourselves to it. Can we talk to the Lord this morning? Can we talk to the Lord? That sin will no longer thrive around you because you put pressure on your communion life. Can we just talk to the Lord?
We hope you have been blessed through these words of life. You can get more messages on our website, www.thecitygatechurch.org. Stay blessed.